following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to First Draft, hosted by me, DJ Blindside, where we will be breaking down the future superstars in the 2025 NFL Draft. All right, everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Free agency frenzy is in the books, at least the most exciting part of it. Still a few names to get signed, but really most of the big names have gone where they're going to go. A lot of those dominoes have fallen, and that really impacts the draft, because up until this point, you're looking at a team's needs and assuming all of those will be needs by draft time, because you don't know what they're going to do in free agency. But now we have a better picture of what actually is very shallow or what is a more deep position for a team. And for this episode, we're going to look at just a few instances, a few teams that I think really changed their draft strategy based on free agency. And just before we dive into that, I just want to kind of preface, free agency is for setting the floor of your football team. So you get that baseline of talent, you fill holes, you get your roster to a competitive spot, so then you can use the draft to get the best players available, not draft for positionally because you just need a corner, for example. You can just draft good players and try and develop them and get elite talent that way. So that's sort of how free agency functions. And I think we're just going to dive right into this. So the first thing I want to look at here, that is the number one overall pick. So the Tennessee Titans hold that pick. And the way they have been moving in free agency, it really feels like they will be taking a quarterback. And that quarterback will be Cam Ward. So they haven't brought any other quarterback in, and you really assume they don't want to just go into next season with Will Levis after how he performed. So the fact they haven't made a move is honestly pretty insightful into how they are going to be attacking this draft. And you see press conferences, you see, you know, things that get leaked and teams talking about, like, oh, we want to draft this type of player, this type of player. Teams lie about that stuff all the time. What they do not lie about is how they spend their money. They're not going to spend money to create a diversion, and they're spending on O-line. They signed Dan Moore to a lucrative deal. It's too much money, in most people's opinion, for Dan Moore. Brought him in, building up the O-line. I believe they got Kevin Zeitler as well, good guard. Like, they're building up the O-line in what seems like a play to put Cam Ward back there and have him protected. So with that information, then, that doesn't just impact Tennessee, but also the New York Giants, who very much need to draft a quarterback. That has been apparent for years. Couldn't get it done last year, couldn't trade up, didn't value any of the, you know, back three guys of Penix, McCarthy, and Bo Nix above Malik Nabers. But now they need a quarterback. The president of the New York Giants, John Mara, has pretty much said this team needs to be better next year or these guys are out. And you can't go into the year with Tommy DeVito as your only quarterback. So where does this leave them? Another aspect of this that I didn't really talk about in my last episode because I was talking about the combine winners, but the sense coming out of the combine is that teams are not super high on Shedeur Sanders. And for a lot of the draft season, it's felt like it's kind of a two-quarterback race. Those are the top two. Who's number one? Now it really feels like teams like Cam Ward, and we don't know where Shador's going to go. He very well could fall out of the top five, fall out of the top 10. I think there is a very likely scenario where he becomes a Kenny Pickett-type pick, just kind of back end of the first round. Then that raises the question, what are the Giants going to do? Like, is that a player you're going to take at three? And if not, how are you going to get a quarterback? Because you need to do it. Like, this brings up the whole question of, like, how to run a team. Like, looking at John Mara, like, you probably should have just fired him. Because now you've got these guys desperate and are going to make a move that probably isn't the best for your team in the long run because they're trying to save their jobs. That's just a thing to kind of look into. But with the Titans now seeming pretty set on a quarterback and Shedeur not looking like a top 10 pick, the Giants, I don't know what they're going to do. Because before free agency, a lot of people were saying Titans trade back, get draft picks, still get a blue chip player like Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, because one of them's going to be there. Now, if they take a QB, like Giants, what could they do? So that raises a big question. I'm excited to see how it plays out on draft night. And that's another thing, too, I just want to kind of quickly get into before we move on. This is not a super strong draft class. It is very similar to, I believe it was 2022, the Trayvon Walker draft class, where nobody knew what was going to happen. When you've got all these blue chip talents, people can really easily kind of predict, especially the top 10. With this, it is like a lot of the talent needs to develop, and teams are going to have very different grades. So you really can't predict super clearly how this draft's going to shake out. So it's very, very exciting in that regard. So moving on to another team, and talking about something QB related, we're going to talk about the Las Vegas Raiders. They traded for Geno Smith, a third round pick, which is very cheap for a good quarterback. He's older, but this really opens up the draft for Las Vegas, because before it's like they need a quarterback too. Like, you can't go into the year with Aiden O'Connell. They don't have Minshew anymore. Like, that can't be your quarterback. So a lot of people are thinking at 6 would be a great spot to get Shador. Now they don't need that. And that is fantastic for them, because now they can draft a high-end player, top 10, top, you know, 6, obviously, because they're number 6. You can now use that pick to really snag one of the few good players. Not, like, I don't want to, like, rag on this class and be like, this is a bad draft class, because every draft class is going to have amazing players, good players, bad players. Like, it's all a mixed bag. It's just as prospects and not a lot, not as many polished, closer to finished products as we've seen last year. Like, there's not a Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Caleb Williams in this class that everyone's like, this is a top 10 player. Well, there's two of them. There's Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter. Those are the two that are like, they would go high in other years. All the other players, and Jenty, who I think now is in play for Las Vegas, because last year they fortified their O-line. They built that up. Who they draft? They drafted DJ Glaze, drafted Jackson Powers Johnson. They had their O-line playing pretty well a couple years before. So their O-line's looking good. Now you have a good quarterback. Receiver room is not good. So you could also look at Tedaro McMillan, the wide receiver out of Arizona, at this spot. But this is like Ashton Jeanty, running back out of Boise State, could very well go at 6 to the Raiders. And that's another kind of broader thing that free agency has. If you look at people doing mock drafts, now that teams have filled kind of those holes and gotten their roster just kind of more filled out, not as many glaring needs, you see more running backs go. There's been people I've seen that are mocking Omarion Hampton, the running back out of North Carolina, to the Bears at 10. So there's genuine possibility that two running backs go top 10, you know, similar, not exactly to the Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs thing. But that is a real possibility now, and I think that starts with the Raiders, because if they take Jeanty at 6, which is, again, very possible, then do the Bears take Hampton at 10? Because they've done a lot of work on their O-line. They still need a center, but you're not taking a center at 10. Could you get an elite running back, an elite player, in a class that doesn't have a whole lot of elite players, and just add them to the roster? Get that great value, because it's a running back. It's a position that isn't as valued. So you can take advantage of that and grab a very high-level player in a position that, you know, maybe you couldn't have if you needed to draft an O-lineman. So I think a big thing that this free agency has told us is that I think the running backs now are going to get pushed up, because now you see these teams as more full units. That's like, okay, well, you know, this stuff's fine. All these other positions are good. You're probably not going to get a replacement at this spot, like an instant replacement. It's a solid unit, so let's just draft a really elite running back that could be a game changer. And that does, you know, lend itself to like how valuable is a running back. And I think that conversation has gone too far. People say, oh, running backs are completely invaluable. They say, like, look at Isaiah Pacheco, and it's like, well, he's hurt, and he wasn't really good this year, and even previous years, he's not like elite. He's like a good running back, but he's not like a game changer. It's not like you can get a game changer like that in the seventh round. You can get 5 years of elite running back play for relatively cheap, so it's worth doing, especially with now teams running a lot more too high. You can run it more. You see the value going back up, which I think is just good for the sport, valuing all the positions. And then for our final team here, we're going to talk about my favorite team, because I had to get them in here somewhere, the Carolina Panthers. So it was pretty apparent coming into this offseason that they needed defense. Their defense was the worst all time, maybe. It was in terms of points allowed, rushing yards allowed, 3,000 rushing yards. It was horrible. It was horrendous. And they did what everyone expected, and they brought in a lot of defense. And this did exactly what free agency is supposed to do, and raised the level of talent. They brought in Bobby Brown, nose tackle, good run stopper, which they need. Tershawn Wharton, a defensive tackle from the Chiefs, more of a pass rush specialist, led the team in sacks, 8.5, including the playoffs. Also, Bobby Brown is from the Rams. Didn't say that previously. Edge rusher Patrick Jones, the second from the Vikings, a good just designated pass rusher. Trayvon Merrig, the safety from the Raiders, signed him to a big deal. Brought back Mike Jackson, extended J.C. Horn, two cornerbacks. Brought Roseboom, linebacker from the Rams, another Rams guy. Good depth piece. If someone goes down, you're not trotting out Chandler Wooten like they did last year, a special teams guy. Like, getting depth. It's not all about getting star talent. They got depth. They got good players. And this, I think, impacts their draft spot, because for a lot of the offseason, people were saying that Panthers need to go defense. Me included. Edge rusher, D-line, I would take corner. Safety, I wouldn't do top eight, nor linebacker. But get a good defensive player with your number 8 pick. Get a player that could be elite. Now, it seems like the vibe has shifted to maybe you can go offense there. I still would go defense. I would grab an edge rusher. I would try and trade up with the Patriots at 4. And get Abdul Carter if he fell there. But at 8, you think about Shamar Stewart, Jalen Walker. You worry about the character concerns for Mike Green out of Marshall, the edge rusher, and James Pierce, the edge rusher out of Tennessee. Those are two guys who I really like and would love on the team, but have very troubling character concerns. So do they go there? And if that's true, obviously if it is true, I don't want him on my team. Yeah, so now with the defensive line beefed up, you've got more linebacker depth, you've got your secondary set more. Do you have room to go Teteroa McMillan, get an X wide receiver for your offense, a nice safety blanket for Bryce Young, or Tyler Warren at tight end, who can just raise the level of your run game and passing game? Like, that stuff is now feels more open, as to where when you're just a really bad roster, you have to go a position that you're weak at. Now you can have that luxury of looking at your draft board and being like, okay, who's the best player we have available? Can we get him on the field? Let's go. So it's very much just for the team's best benefit to fill those holes so you can draft well. Also, forgot to mention, they brought in Rico Dowdle, running back from Dallas Cowboys, to pair with Chuba Hubbard, which impacts their draft selection as well, because before that they had one running back on the roster and it was Chuba. They cut Miles Sanders. So I was like, okay, do they go running back high? They took Jonathan Brooks last year, but after two torn ACLs, how much can you expect from him going forward? But they brought in Rico Dowdle, who quietly had over 1,000 yards rushing, and over the back half of the year is one of the better RBs. Now your team is feeling pretty good. You brought back O-linemen. You've got depth, which is what they needed, because when people got hurt last year, everything went downhill. They had people that never should have been starting out there. And now in the draft, you don't have to focus on getting depth and getting people that fill a need that is very shallow. You can get great players to help your team move from, okay, this is a fun kind of story with Bryce Young coming back, to an actual competitive unit. So that is going to do it for our third podcast here. Thank you all for tuning in. I will see you next week. This is First Draft, and I'm DJ Blindside.